Head down against the wind, the ball cap she had taken off Matt, crammed down on her own hair, a pair of sunglasses she had taken from his pocket shading her eyes, Christy clambered up another slope, furred in gray bunch grass and dotted with low brush. The mad desert wind lashed her with grit and sticky bits of dried vegetation. To her left and below ran the rail line and the road that paralleled it. The sun was high in the sky, but still short of the zenith. Despite the wind, the morning was hot, although nothing to what it would be in a matter of weeks at this time of day. She resented the cost in time and energy of keeping as much as possible to the high ground. The wisdom of it, however, had been reinforced an hour or so before, when the patrol she had seen go out a couple of days earlier returned at speed. She had seen the wink of sunlight off the captain's burnished steel breastplate as the wags passed a quarter mile away. Intuition told her Magog was preparing to move on, that repairs on the track neared completion if they weren't finished already. Inside, she was whipsawed, now ablaze with the nearness of her quarry, now chilled through the guts with the dread that it would escape. Nearing the point of psychic thermal shock, the best she could do was to drive herself without rest, drinking on the move from her rapidly dwindling store of canteens and water bottles, and hope she made good enough time. To try to move along the track or road exposed would be begging to be caught, to fail. Worse even than having Magog slip away was the prospect that she would die in a ditch like a dog, without liberating her friends or taking her revenge. A few feet from the top, a loose rock slipped beneath her foot.
Shit!
Her ankle torqued dangerously. Only barely did she manage to avoid spraining. Even so, the weight of her pack and the deserter's two long blasters strapped to it drove her face first into the sand. She reared up her head, shook it, and spat out dry dirt. She pushed herself up on all fours. Whether it was a rustle of sound, all but undetectable beneath the wind, or movement in her peripheral vision, she didn't know. Some sensation made her turn her head and look left.
What?
It saved her vision and her sight. Fluid struck her glasses like water from a squirt gun. She recoiled. Milky liquid half obscured both lenses of polarized glass. Then some dripped onto her right cheek. It clung and burned like fire. She rolled. One hand knocked the glasses from her face. The other grabbed up a palmful of sand, trying to scrub the burning fluid from her violated skin. She was up on her knees in one arm. Her jade green eyes tracked frantically over the scrub to find the source of the attack. It stood beneath a low chemise 15 feet away, a scorpion at least 6 inches long, its carapace yellow with branching black markings. Its pincers clacked before its nervously working mandibles. Its tail was raised over its back, aimed at Christy like a blaster. As she looked, the tail darted forward. A stream of greenish-blue liquid squirted toward her eyes. She reared upright on her knees. The venom passed where her face had been and struck at the base of a clump of grama grass. It made a stomach-clenching reek. Silvery strands of the bunch grass blackened and shriveled from the poison. There were neurotoxins in that hell brew as well as acid. Christy felt her cheek twitching where the tiny poison drop had landed, and she was having trouble focusing that eye. With a heave of her shoulders, she shucked her pack. She threw herself to the side. Whether the creature had sprayed again, she didn't know. She hit, rolled, and came up into a crouch. She couldn't see the muti arthropod anymore, which was no comfort, the opposite, in fact. She didn't want the jointed horror lurking in ambush or sniping her from cover.
Where the hell are you, you little bastard?
She drew her hand blaster. The solid weight of the revolver reassured her, even if she wasn't sure how much use a blaster would be. A waving of tall tufts of grass, in a manner contrary to the wind, alerted her. She had the snubby pointed and was pulling through the long trigger action when the yellow and black creature scuttled into view. Its tail was cocking back for a shot of its own. Her second bullet neatly clipped the bulbous black stinger off the scorpion's tail. It ran at her, claws clacking.
Damn it! Oh, no, you don't!
She jumped up. The heel of her right boot flashed down right in the midst of the churn of segmented legs. She stomped the loathsome thing into the earth. Then she carefully dragged her heel through some sand, drifted at the bottom of a bush, to try to scour off the poison and keep it from eating through her boot.
Damn.
She staggered to her pack. Her right eye was watering so severely she could see nothing from that side but a blur. Given time, she might be able to find appropriate herbs to make a poultice and counteract the workings of the toxin. But time was a luxury she didn't have. She would have to rely upon the minute quantity of the poison she had been exposed to, and her own muti powers of accelerated healing. And if she lost sight in that eye, well, it hadn't slowed down her beloved Ryan. She knelt, hauled up the pack, pulled the straps over her shoulders, then struggled to her feet. The pack felt like lead, her legs like sandbags. Bent, she stumbled to the top of the hill. There it was, a mile away, gleaming like a river yanked out straight in the sun. Magog. And then she saw that it was moving.
No.
Yes, the giant silver serpent was in motion, scarcely perceptible, but increasing as she watched in shocked horror. Without smoke or sound audible at this distance, it was pulling out toward the east and the Continental Divide. She stood and watched, as if held in some kind of suspended animation. When the train had almost passed the hill on which she stood transfixed, it was as if someone had thrown a switch and suddenly restored power to her systems. She began to run down the hill, heedless of the way her overloaded legs jarred the sockets of her hips at every step, heedless of obstacles, heedless of the need to remain unseen. She was empty of everything except the blind, desperate need not to let her quarry escape. She was too late. As if there were anything she could do to stop the fusion-powered behemoth once it built up speed. Stumbling, reeling, vision blacking around the edges, her lungs feeling as if they were being ripped in two each time she breathed, she reached the bottom of the hill. The last wag of the train was already over a quarter mile distant and receding at a good clip. Somehow she crossed the road and hauled herself up the steep embankment without even being aware of the effort. She stood square between the endless narrow steel bands, only to see the last of Magog disappear around the hip of a low distant mesa.
No! No!
A tumbleweed fetched up against her leg and clung like an amorous poodle. She let slip her pack again and went to her knees and stretched herself full length across the ties.